Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway View of GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
That's right, Kelly Morning After. Jay, I want it on the record that we've been sitting here for 10 minutes. This is not a case of me showing up at 7, what time is it, 7:13.
No, you were here ready to rock and roll.
And this is not the Plowhawk's fault either.
Nope.
Plowhawk, tell the audience what was going on, because it's full transparency here behind the scenes.
I think for a split second, if somebody was listening to the open, you could hear just the most annoying, loud, obnoxious reverb sound. I couldn't pinpoint it.
So we played the late night score for a second.
And then you just basically have to do what all engineers do is just restart the computer.
That's what they do.
And that ended up working.
That's what
they do. It takes forever.
So they teach you down in Rolla.
Yeah.
We are here just a little later than normal. And by that, I mean a little later than 7:07. But I was actually here at 7:04. But Charlie, sometimes things happen.
Things happen, and it's all good, and we're ready to go and bring some sizzling takes this morning.
Yeah, and in a rare batting order, Derek Gould is going to join us like in 6 minutes, actually, from Orlando with Winter Meetings News and Notes. Winter Meetings News and Notes, because he will be patrolling the hotel over the next couple of hours, so we had to get him in the 7 o'clock hour. So that's what we have for you coming up. And I'm looking forward to what he has to say. I have so many things that I'm looking forward to discussing with you fine gentlemen today. My perspective is this. If I had to wager, the Cardinals are going to do a deal with the Rays. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be the only deal, but that is where I think it's going to go. And initially, I was thinking when I would hear talks of Evan Longoria that it was going to be the Cardinals, thinking that was a solution of sorts. But now my read is that they're taking on Longoria's contract so as to be able to get, whether it be Colome or maybe, don't know how likely it is, Chris Archer, that it's kind of a, okay, we'll give up this guy who you really want, but you got to take this contract off our hands before he becomes a no-trade 5-10 himself. Charlie, what's your read?
Yeah, I think if they were to make the blockbuster deal with the Rays that I think a lot of Cardinals fans are probably dreaming about, which would be Colome, Archer, even though Longoria is not the Longoria of 5 years ago, still, if that's part of it due to taking that salary, I think Cardinals fans should be all for that. And yeah, I mean, that's three ways right there to drastically improve your team, especially closing, starting pitching, and then I'd think they'd still get another bat. I don't think that Evan Longoria, if they made that deal, would be the only bat they would get.
I'm just looking here at Redbird Rant.
What's going on Redbird Rant?
Redbird Rant. They don't believe this should happen. They break down the stats. They break down the trends. I don't know. I don't know enough about the situation. I just know that I can promise you this. I was at the 123 Club Christmas party on Friday. I saw Tim Sr., by the way.
Yeah.
Always great to see him.
He was there, wasn't he?
I saw Bill DeWitt Jr. and some Cardinal executives.
This is the chairman
of the team. Yeah. They're going to do whatever they can to make this baseball team as good as it can be. Now, you may not like the moves. I've been stunned by... Tim had a post on the fan page last night from one of our colleagues, if you want to call him that, Chris Raby.
Radio Warriors.
Yeah,
pretty intense.
I don't like
right
mentioning
now
his name.
Right.
And it got a ton of reaction from Cardinal fans. And it's interesting to see how some of them... You know, I've seen a lot of F Stantons and stuff like that. I mean, could it be as simple as the guy didn't want to play ball here? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I tend to think that's it. And I'm looking forward to playing that clip,
yeah,
courtesy of KMOX. And man, does it bother me to give them a free promotion on this show, which could really turn that station around.
It needs it.
So, but Raby did catch up because I watched the entire press conference on MLB Network yesterday afternoon. And I watched when Stanton got on the MLB Network set with who was on there? Greg Amsinger. Is Eric Chavez? Is that who's now an analyst? Is he on there? Can't recall who the other analysts were. Maybe Dan Plesac. Either way, it was Amsinger's line of questioning that asked about the Cardinals and the Giants. And then I thought the most revealing, but yet odd, and that's why I want to play it. And we will play it. But like I said, Derek Gould's going to be with us any second, so I don't want to play it now because then we'll get sidetracked on the discussion. But I gotta just like Stanton on what was an easy bluff. I mean, just like I almost hope there's more to it. The bluff of, well, if you don't take the Cardinals or Giants off, you're going to be a Marlin for the next 10 years. And he's like, okay, sure. You know, it was like just so transparent. I feel like Stanton, in my opinion, is bluffing on this Cardinals aren't, you know, ready to win or a few years away thing. However, now with that said, I do think, and it's I don't know why, I don't think it's like this in other markets, but I could be off the mark. And this is more of a recent phenomenon. I think the passing of Joe Strauss, in a sense, has contributed to it, that there aren't a lot of credible dissenters. So if the Cardinals win two games in a row, then you have a variety of people, not limited to one or two people I'm thinking about. I'm talking about almost across the board. Well, see, the Cardinals have turned it around. And this team, that team was not a championship caliber baseball team in 2017, nor was it in 2016. But for whatever reason, most of the area's media in 2017 is more in a cheerleader mode than a critical mode, which is why I would say regarding Strauss that he was a credible dissenter.
Agreed.
Those are important. Those two words are important. Credible.
Yep.
Dissenter. And so I think if the mindset, you can look at this from a political standpoint, if the mindset of the fan base is partially fueled or mostly fueled by what they hear or read from media representatives that the team is a couple winning streaks away and you never know what can happen, then it perhaps portrays an organization that isn't really close as being closer than it is. With that said, to label the Cardinals as being a few years away, as Stanton did, that to me is inaccurate. And that's coming from somebody who was not bullish on the team in 16 and 17. And, you know, I realize Las Vegas odds don't dictate what will actually happen, but the Cardinals are the seventh best odds to win the World Series at this point. Now, you may disagree with that, but just of, you know, 30 Major League Baseball teams, the Cardinals are seventh. So
that means you got a shot.
Well, in the perspective of Las Vegas, but that doesn't necessarily also equate to it actually being
true.
Realistic, because you could put Alabama up against, you know, the 2002 Miami Hurricanes, and they'd be a favorite, because a lot of it's fueled by perception, public betting. So the point being that could be weighted. My overall point is I didn't think that was real, and I come away from it thinking he just didn't want to play here, but what's your choice? You say, well, I really like the organization. They'll get it right because they're a traditional powerhouse, but I want to win now. And again, either reason is fine, and I'm not upset about any of it, but I do understand if you're a fan taking offense to it or just being pissed because you thought it might be happening. So that's the perspective on that, and we'll have that coming up. Derek Gould will join us here momentarily. We will see. The other discussion outside of the Rays is Ozuna. Charlie, you've loved Ozuna forever, it seems to me, even though I guess it's only really like a year, but I always feel like you would talk about Ozuna.
I like Marcell Ozuna. I do understand, though, that in terms of the deals, now with him you're getting 2 years. Yelich, you're getting, what I believe, 5 years of control still left. I think that's true with Yelich. Under a very nice contract. So Marcell Ozuna, maybe you get him for two prime years and he leaves after that. I think both options are very good for the Cardinals, but obviously it comes down to who you're going to get for a longer period of time. And if it's Christian Yelich, you're going to have to give up a significant amount more to get those extra years.
Joining us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone line, somebody with informed perspective, ladies and gentlemen, Derek Gould, live from the winter meetings in Orlando. Derek, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very fine. I know you're very busy, so we want to hit the hole and let you go in with the day.
Writers meeting at 9 a.m.
Writers meeting. Ooh. Pony show. So, Derek, we were just talking about Ozuna, but to your credit, from the very beginning on all of these discussions, and I'm talking about when you and I did our podcast, I guess that was like the second week of October, you said the guy that if you had to bet, it would be Yelich. And I still tend to think that's what's going to wind up happening. And I saw this morning there was a baseball writer in Miami who I retweeted who said, let's see, it was Joe Frisaro. The return for Yelich would be high, in my opinion. The Marlins should seriously explore trading him, especially in an overpay situation. And I feel like he's essentially subtweeting the Cardinals there, because the Cardinals are likely in an overpay situation, and they would love to have a left-handed bat who has a number of years of control, and it seems like the quote-unquote perfect match, even though it would be an overpay.
Yes, all of those things. I mean, this is, as you said, I mean, this is something that I think somebody asked me, where do you think this ends up? And I said, you know, their conversations with Stanton, if they get him, that's great. But the more likely thing has always been that they talk to the Marlins about Stanton and they end up with a Yelich, you know, possibly an Ozuna, but that those conversations were about all three outfielders, that they laid the groundwork for a fit there. And, you know, when you looked at, just as you outlined and as we talked about before, and I hope as it's come across in our coverage, even back to the GM meetings, that, you know, all things, if you just look across the landscape of where the Cardinals are, where the Cardinals' sweet spot for trades is, where the Cardinals' need is, where the Cardinals' want is, the Yelich lines up with all of them. You know, left-handed bat, like you said, can play a corner outfield, can play some center field. Entering the prime of his career, a guy who, you know, a year ago had a real breakout year, did not follow that up with, you know, he followed up with a solid year, but, you know, not the wild G. Willikers overwhelming year that, say, Ozuna and obviously Stanton had this past year. But a good player entering his prime, a good player that a lot of teams and a lot of scouts and executives think is, you know, primed to be an ascending player. He's the kind of guy that the Cardinals don't have access to very often. I mean, I look back to when he was drafted. He was drafted two spots ahead of where the Cardinals picked, and then the Cardinals picked Zach Cox. Do you guys remember Zach Cox?
The great Zach Cox. He was traded for whom?
Edward Mojica.
Eddie Mojica Jennings. Regular at Normandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Yelich, I mean, is the kind of guy who, you know, I know he's not going to have, and this was something I asked, these are two things that I asked Mo about last night. I asked him, you know, he was talking about how the moves that they've made are subtle, but they think that in the end, the production of these two guys are going to prove that they were the right moves. And I said, do you think, you know, your search for a bat could be a little bit more like this, a little bit more subtle? And, you know, one that has people going, oh, well, that's a nice ad, but that's not the overwhelming one. And he said, you could see that in the market. And I think, you know, there again, that fits with Yelich. And then I did ask him if they're in a spot where they would overpay. And he said, well, that's not really our style. We adhere to our discipline. We're not going to make a move that's irrational or urgent. But, you know, I've been told before that the Cardinals feel like they're in position to do kind of that 2-for-1, 3-for-1, because they get the benefit of freeing up the roster and getting some, you know, moving some of the depth or declutter their outfield around, and they're able to do that. You know, it's not a spot that they were in a year ago when the White Sox asked them for the world for Adam Eaton, but it is a place where they are right now.
And Derek, now that the Marlins have unloaded Giancarlo Stanton, hello, sir. Do you think the Marlins now, are they in a total rebuild where they would want to trade both Yelich and Ozuna in your mind, or you think they'd want to keep hold on to one of those guys?
It's a good question. I think they would trade both of them because what's beyond rebuild? Are they condemned? I think the Marlins are condemned. I think that's what they're just tearing it all down. You know, I think they would move both of them. I think that they want some return on that, though. I think that they want to get some raw materials to kind of fuel next year when they're a rebuild. That's kind of the sense I get. So you could see how if they keep Yelich, they would say, well, this is the guy we're going to build around, right? That would be what they would sell to their fans. If they keep Ozuna, they would say, well, this is the guy who, you know, we're gonna keep because he's year to year right now. But we wanted to have some power or something like along those lines. I mean, you can see how they would sell keeping either of those guys, but if they can move both for multiple prospects to really kind of put in the cornerstones of what comes next for them, the next phase for them, then I think they'd be open to it.
Derek Gould, our guest here live from the winter meetings. He joins us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Tim McKernan, Charlie Marlowe, Jay Randolph Jr. with you on the program. It seems also like, based on your reporting, and I'm telling you, if you haven't read in the Post-Dispatch or FTLtoday.com this morning, make sure you do. It's thorough both with Derek and Ben Fredrickson, that the Cardinals continue these talks with the Tampa Bay Rays. How would you characterize these talks, and which players do you think are the focus of the Cardinals in these talks with Tampa?
It's a good question. I'm wondering what would be the way to describe that. I mean, I think they're determined talks. Is that a good way to describe it?
I like
it. They have interest in Colome. That's the root of this. They also have, as we've seen, they also have challengers for Colome. I know the Cubs are one, the Rockies are another. But the Cardinals really like Colome. And it's through the window of trying to get Colome, which the Rays are open, who the Rays are open to trading, that it's through that the conversations have expanded. I know that there was interest, I know that there was talks about Evan Longoria and whether or not the Cardinals would take on his contract and what that would look like. There's been talks about that. And then, you know, yesterday, Mo, who has been kind of cagey about where they sit with starting pitching, mentioned that, you know, you could just, and he said this a little bit before, but just not recently. He said, you know, if you can't get that transformative bat, maybe we redeploy the assets and look at to beef up the pitching. Well, that would be Chris Archer. So yeah, you could see how they would be, and that might be somewhat of a preventative move, you know, because Chris Archer, man, he's got several more years of control, four more years of control, I believe, and it's ludicrously team-friendly, his deal, and he's an excellent pitcher. He also would improve the Cardinals' rotation tremendously, give them some overlap, but they would have to trade from their rotation to add him to the rotation, obviously. So you're talking about a young guy, like, you know, Weaver, Flaherty type, and then, or Alcantara. And then, you know, you would have him in place, and you would also assure that the Cubs don't get him.
If they got Longoria, Derek.
Yes, sir.
What does that do to Jerko or Wong? Is how does that affect them?
Well, Jerko would be the super utility guy, which is kind of why they got him, right?
I guess, yeah.
And a right-handed option at second base to, you know, for Wong to get a break.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what it would mean. You know, Longoria's, there's some concern when you look at Longoria's stats, no doubt. You know, and one of the things he has been is durable and a gold glove third baseman. So he would batten down defense, but that wasn't third base's issue last year. But durability is something that he would bring, and he would play a lot, and, you know, and the hope would be for a bounce back offensive year. So you could see how sort of spot duty for Jerko might bring out the best in him, similar to how it's done the past 2 years, where he's played his way into a larger role, but it starts with him getting favorable matchups, and they could still find that for him. These days of the same guy playing at the same position are just over.
And, Derek, if several teams are very serious about Colome, do you think for the Rays, for them to get the best deal, and maybe that involves prospects, but also the fact that they want to pair Colome with Longoria and get that salary off the books as well?
Yeah. 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 That's how these teams. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And if you're going to move Longoria, you got to do it now because of two reasons. One, a couple weeks into the season, he gets no trade protection. He reaches 10-5 status, and then he's not going anywhere. And two, if you want to try to unload that salary or you want to try to get him to go somewhere, and he has a similar year this coming year that he had last year, then it's going to be even harder because of the money left on his deal.
Derek, if the Cardinals were to get Longoria and Colome, do you think at that point that would be it? Or do you think they would still be aggressive in trying to get most likely Yelich or perhaps Ozuna from the Marlins?
I wish I had like a real clear, definitive answer for that. One of the things that I haven't been able to kind of unknot, and you guys can probably understand why, is if there's overlap of what they're offering, right? Like, is if there's a player that both teams want, and either the Cardinals have to talk one of the teams off that player so they can pull both deals, or the Cardinals can only make one of those deals. I have not been able to sort of tease out that information. It's a little bit easier coming out of the Stanton thing and all the reporting there done by everybody. What the Marlins are interested in, what the Rays are interested in is trickier. And one of the reasons, and part of that problem too, is Rays and Cardinals have had such difficulty making deals in the past because they have a similar way of viewing and evaluating players. So they've just always kind of hit a point where it's like there's just no deal to be had because, you know, Tampa wants to squeeze every last value out of a deal, and the Cardinals are pretty much the same way. I remember being told a couple of years, actually, this is, I don't know, three years ago maybe, when, you know, the Cardinals were like, we're thinking about what would be a play, what would be a package to try to get Longoria from the Rays. And I was told that those two teams just, they can't find a way to make a deal. They're too similar.
Derek Gould, our guest here live on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Let's talk about the Stanton press conference yesterday.
Yes, sir.
You went out of your way, and I appreciated it, to try and really kind of get to the bottom of what was going on with his meetings with the Cardinals and the Giants. The thing that we kept talking about last week, and you would go back to, is what the reason was why he had not declined the Cardinals or Giants as we sat there on Thursday morning, if I'm not mistaken. And then now hearing from him as to why he took the meetings, does that add up to you? And then the reason why I ask that is my theory is he took the meetings, if he always wanted to go to the Yankees or Dodgers, to then make it look like he was seriously considering the Giants or Cardinals so as to get the Yankees or Dodgers to up their offer to the Marlins to get him to where he actually really wanted to go. That is a theory of mine that is based in nothing but reads. Yeah. What is your interpretation of why he took the meetings if he knew he wasn't going to go to the Cardinals or Giants?
I think that certainly is a part of it. The poker aspect of it, I think, is fair. There are a couple other reasons that came out sort of in more detailed answers than happened on the podium. One was, you know, at that time, those were the deals that were available. Those were the deals that the Marlins had accepted. And Stanton had to be aware that if the Marlins were going to make him choose between those two deals and staying with the Marlins, could he stomach going to one of those two places that was not on the list? You know, and that was real. I mean, and I think we've talked about this multiple times, that was the place where the Cardinals wanted to get, was just where he had to choose between the Marlins and the Cardinals, because Cardinals felt like, man, the further this is down the track, the less likely it is that he's going to want to be around the Marlins. And we did not hear much love for the Marlins yesterday. Goodness gracious.
Right.
That was scathing. I think, just quick sidebar here, I think Giancarlo Stanton is the first person in baseball to not say positive things about Derek Jeter. I mean, I'm not even joking. Is that possible? I mean, we hear, you know, I mean, there's almost this cult of Jeter, right? That you don't ever say anything bad about the editor, the publisher of the Players Tribune. But Stan, goodness, I mean, right as he's putting on a Yankee jersey, the optics were amazing, you know. But anyway, and then the other part of it, and this was brought up by his agent, Joel Wolf, who said he talked to Stanton and said he wanted him to hear the Cardinals. He wanted him to hear the Cardinals presentation. He wanted Stanton to know more about the Cardinals. He wanted to make sure that they got in the room so that Stanton understood what he was turning down. That comes from a couple different areas. Wolf played for the Cardinals in the Cardinals system. He was a minor leaguer with the Cardinals. He obviously, as an agent, has a longstanding relationship with Mosaloc, actually. You know, the GM meetings last month for Mosaloc started with a very lengthy meeting with Joel Wolf in the lobby bar there. And, you know, they have a good relationship, and, you know, he's aware of what the Cardinals could offer, and he just wanted to make sure that Stanton heard that in person. He felt that that was important.
Regarding Stanton's comments that the Cardinals and Giants are a few years away, that legitimately surprised me. Did we just lose Derek? Derek, you there? I felt like we lost him. It was a good read, Jennings.
That was a great read.
It was a good read.
It's like your first rodeo.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like Teddy KGB with the Oreo. You pick it up, you don't let the man know that he got his tell. But I was going to ask him about his perception of Stanton's reasoning on the Cardinals being a few years away, and we'll follow up on that. And then also, he brought up the Jeter thing, and that's where I was going to finish, because he's right. For the near two decades Derek Jeter played, one of the phenomenon of his whole existence, especially doing it in New York City, was that he played without criticism. Yeah. And now he's a handful of months into operating the Marlins, and it seems like he's getting nothing but criticism. And one of those things is that he isn't at the winter meetings, but last night he made sure to take in the Patriots and Dolphins games in Miami Springs. He might have been on the under with me. I don't know.
That's a good look.
Good morning, Derek. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
No problem. So I was asking you about the comments from Stanton that the Cardinals are a few years away, which legitimately surprised me. What did you take on that?
Yeah. Well, I was a little bit surprised, and it really did seem like one thing that Giancarlo Stanton was missing was that Giancarlo Stanton would mean the Cardinals would not be a few years away.
Right.
As he was talking, it's like, well, that's why they wanted you. You know, if you're there, then they're right on the doorstep. That you closed the gap on the Cubs. So, you know, I think there was something to it. I do think that was a little bit. I mean, that was probably more the Giants. You know, the feel that I had once everything kind of unfolded about a week and a half ago after these meetings was that the Cardinals went in there and made a pretty good, or they felt really good about their presentation. But it was rooted in history and tradition and fans and all the usual stuff that we hear from them. You know, and Stanton did want to hear more about, like, well, yeah, that's great. You got 11 championships, but I don't get rings from those. You know, what's the plan for 12? What's the plan for 12? And it's a little like when the Red Sox went to visit Schilling, you know, where they wrote him that letter. And I wrote about this in the paper at the very beginning, or, you know, when I was describing what the Cardinals wanted to do with their meeting with Stanton. You know, and the Red Sox wrote this letter to Schilling that said, you know, our plan is you. And that's kind of where the Cardinals were. It's like, they got young players, they got a lineup, they got good players, they got Fowler, they got Carpenter, they got Molina. They got the supporting cast that is really strong. But the plan is Stanton. And Stanton is what transforms them. Stanton is what makes them go. And you know, it was like, it was the way he described it was the Cardinals were a few years away. And it's like, well, that may be true if you're not a part of them. And so you kind of made that decision for them.
So along those lines, in a bigger picture question, and this is what I was attempting to try and get to the bottom of, or just theorize, really, because we're never going to really, really, really know, I don't think, anyway, because I don't believe that's really, 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 really the reason. Because, like you said, I think he's talking more about the Giants there than the Cardinals. When it's all said and done, is that as simple as he did not, and he can't say, and I get that he can't say, he did not want to live in St. Louis? Or is there more to it? Because over the last three off seasons, we have seen the following. We have seen Jason Hayward choose to leave the Cardinals, which you made reference to today in your story regarding the Cardinals getting these trade and then sign acquisitions in 97 with McGuire and 2000 with Edmonds and 2002 with Rowland. Are those days over as it didn't work out with Hayward, and therefore they may be hesitant to do so if they were to try and go all in and get Machado, who's a free agent after next season, or Donaldson? And then
he'll become a free agent. There's no doubt about Machado.
And then, yes. And then also, so you have Hayward leave. You have Fowler, who, while it might not have been widely reported, I know you and I have discussed it, not necessarily having the Cardinals at the top of his list, and then the Cardinals going above and beyond with an extra year and more money to get him to St. Louis. And now you have John Carlos Stanton choosing not to come to St. Louis, publicly saying, because the team's a few years away from winning, even though they're listed as the seventh most likely team to win the World Series in Las Vegas right now. So that is why I ask from a more macro perspective, what your theory is as to what is going on, or was this just a coincidence that you were dealing with a guy who had zero interest in living in a National League Central city that's not Chicago?
Well, I don't think his list, in the end, his list was the final four teams of baseball. You know, I mean, new shocker. He picked the four teams that were in the ALCS and NLCS last year. So you want to go to the best teams in baseball. You check the standings. And so I think it's a kind of a cocktail of all these things, right, that the Cardinals are dealing with. But first and foremost, it's that. It's the spot in the final four, which they were a part of for four consecutive years and in the playoffs for five consecutive years, they haven't been for 2 years. And, you know, this is short attention span theater, man. You know, the player like Stanton was talking about how he wanted to go to a place where he knew he could win and win now and win right now, or whatever the phrase was. And, you know, the Cardinals have not been in the playoffs for 2 years. That carries some. And it's one of the things that, you know, that in addition to the other stuff that goes on, you know, the questions about the social unrest in the city, you know, where does a player live in the city? And I want to stress this too. I mean, one big thing, and I'm not sure maybe we should have seen this coming, but I'm not sure that we could have, but that as players get younger and players become free agents younger, the idea of going to a place where it's nice to raise a family and, you know, the whole school thing that Mike Hampton threw out there, that's less so. I mean, look at Jason Hayward. Look at Giancarlo Stanton. You know, look at David Price and some of these other guys that the Cardinals have chased. You know, how many of them are going, yeah, I'm looking for where I can, you know, have a place where I can live with my family year-round and really get home like Matt Holliday was? None of them. Not one. And so that has changed the equation a little bit. And I think it's brought the Cardinals back to their roots. You know, he just brings this full circle. Is they're kind of looking for that sweet spot deal, which is a little like they used to do, only instead of spending money, they're spending prospects.
So along those lines, do you have any idea from the inside of what, outside of the fact that the Cardinals pitched Stanton on the tradition, what was discussed at that meeting in Los Angeles between the Cardinals and Stanton?
Yeah, no, the atmosphere, you know, it's the usual stuff, right? I mean, the atmosphere, the packed houses, the farm system was a big part of it, you know, the pitching that they have coming up, the pitching that they have committed to, all that stuff. And then, you know, the personality of the team, you know, what the expectations are. You know, I don't know if they showed him a modified PlayStation 4 game with him in a Cardinals jersey winning the World Series. I don't know if they did that. You know, I don't know if they took Topps baseball cards in with him wearing number 25 like he did as a kid. Though I guess that's Fowler's number, right?
That's
But yeah, maybe Fowler would have given it up. Maybe they brought in a little gif of Fowler saying, "I'll give you this number 25. But no, I don't know beyond, you know, the sales pitch that they usually give.
Yeah. Do you have any idea what Stanton asked about? I mean, I realize you would probably have to get that from the Cardinals' perspective, but any idea what his concerns were outside of, as you made reference to, it's nice to hear about the tradition in the past, but what about the future? Did he ask anything about the city? Did he ask anything about the clubhouse? Did he ask anything about the manager?
I don't know. And okay. He was not forthcoming on that. And the three people who are in the room from the Cardinals are not forthcoming about their interest in Stanton, so they would not be forthcoming about
it. Right. Right.
But no. But we do know that that has existed in other conversations. Right? I mean, that was something that Hayward asked about, and he had been in the clubhouse. That was something that Fowler expressed concerns about, and he was about to be in the clubhouse. So, you know, there's questions. I mean, and this is the crux of it, is the longer this goes, the harder time they're going to have. You know, they just need somebody to say yes to put a U-turn on this trend.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, but I guess the question is going to be, I don't know who on the landscape, because Longoria is under contract for a long haul. I mean, unless it were like Ozuna, who's up after right. 2 years. I just don't know if
No. I mean, you get one of those guys. That's part of why they go after guys who have the contracts, because then that's the yes. I mean, then they're committed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just need a win of some type that right. turns it around.
Are they? I seem to recall talking with you a couple months ago about, or maybe it was a month ago, probably more realistically on the timeline, about J.D. Martinez. And I was under the impression you said, or even wrote about in the Post-Dispatch, that wasn't a direction that they were interested in going. Is that
yep.
correct? And if that was correct, is that still the case?
I hope it's correct.
So you did report that. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I hope it's correct. I mean, they just the out years. You know, I mean, that's a big concern. Or, you know, if you don't have access to the DH, what do you do? Very nice guy, nice player, good ad for the roster for the first 3 years. What about those next four, next five?
So you do not anticipate the Cardinals going after J.D. Martinez?
I don't expect much conversation there. No. I mean, now Boris has waved his magic wand before and pulled teams in, but it's just the sense around here, and this has been since the GM meetings, really, is that this is all about trying to extort the most from the Red Sox.
Huh. and they might wind up with that, because if there's one team that's panicking after outside of the Cardinals after the Stanton thing, it's people in Boston who already were concerned about their offense from last year, and now they're going, oh, my God.
And they need more power. What does he bring? Power. What's his deficit? It's left field defense. Well, that doesn't matter much at Fenway Park, right?
Yeah.
Play the carom.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'd be a DH down the road.
Final question. Yeah. I know you got to get going. What about Hosmer? Do you think there is legitimate interest there?
I think the Cardinals are going to be sales pitched hard on him, and they see some element where that's a fit. But there's a lot. There's a lot of ways he fits, but he deepens the lineup, doesn't change the lineup.
That sums it up nicely. Derek, thank you so much. We weren't anticipating to spend a half hour with you. I know you got things to do. Thank you, as always. We appreciate it, man.
Got to go to the Riders.
That's right.
Jennings,
it's a Riders meeting.
My last day. Last day as an executive on the board. It's very moving.
Oh, wow. Oh. That'd be a little ceremony. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Derek.
Yeah, maybe. See you guys.
See you, buddy.
Thanks.
Derek Gould, live from baseball's winter meetings on the Appliances Counter phone lines. A lot there. A whole lot.
To unpack.
A whole lot to unpack is what they say, I think, in the business. Your thoughts on what Derek had to say. 855-282-8255. You can call on the Appliances Counter phone lines. But, Jay, as you know, 99.2% of our communication with the audience is done on the text inbox.
There you go.
That's where Dotem plays.
I've even heard Charlie started to get involved with the text inbox.
Well, I've been called No Reed Marlowe lately.
Who calls you No Reed Marlowe?
Oh, I think
now.
Just in general, the entire text community. So I've been trying to be better, and I thought yesterday. I mean, I read several of them yesterday.
Well, good.
So who was on the show yesterday?
Myself. Iggy was here. You had Rockio on the board. You had Doug.
Where were you, Plowhawk? I didn't know. Were you?
I had I went to Canton. I had this planned out previously.
Sure,
I had
whatever.
A situation I had to attend in Canton, so I was gone on Monday.
Okay, because I was wondering, was Doug in the Hamptons?
And I got the old 522. Can you make it in
today?
Yesterday.
Yeah, I texted the Seamaster like at 3. Jameson was in full-on, I don't know what happened, screaming mode. I mean, it was a nonstop deal. And I said, we're just not sleeping, and I have an important meeting I have, and I got to
get
at least some form of sleep. So I knew that Charlie and, at least I thought Charlie and Doug were in, but then when I got here today and I saw Jennings, I'm like, oh,
where's Dougie?
I guess, I don't know if Doug's
Hamptons?
In the Hamptons. In December, historically...
Popular place.
Well, absolutely, Long Island in December, but... Doug takes vacation, and a lot of it, because he stores it up and doesn't get to use it at KMOV, but also one of the issues is is that he's not big on giving much notice on taking it. And so this has kind of become a thing where I ask Seymour, I said, hey, has Doug given you his vacation for December yet? Because we just kind of sometimes find out about it like that. We've had it before the night before. I don't know if that was a Seymour era or if that was a producer Joe era thing. So that's what I was wondering if you were, if you found out today that Doug's out until January.
No, I haven't. I did ask Sneaky V how the holiday shows were coming. He said he's working on them.
I hate to open up Pandora's box here, but Doug did mention this on the show yesterday.
Yes.
And I'm not kidding when I say this, but he's getting a colonoscopy. Mm. Dead serious.
So you feel like you can say that because it was said on the show?
No, he said it yesterday at the end of the show.
He mentioned that on the air.
And he waited until
it's a big gift
9:58. That was probably strategic.
Yeah.
But he was fine with mentioning it. And he said he had to drink some, well, when you get a colonoscopy, I've never had one, but apparently you have to drink some drink the day before or the morning of to clean you out or to be able to read the charts or whatever. So that's what he was doing yesterday.
A big day for Dougie.
So there you go.
It's good knowledge. It's good intel. Your thoughts on Doug's colonoscopy, 855-282. Wow. 855-282-8255. I really want to get into what Gould had to say, but since it's 7:54, I won't be able to do it effectively without feeling like I then got to rush to a commercial break. And Charlie, that would be bad time management on my part. So I'm going to call an audible and say, let's get to it coming up after the top of the hour commercial break. So on the Four Seasons Penske truck, Captain's Log, Larry Nickel also going to join us. A rare 9:15 appearance for Larry. Maybe he's sleeping in after staying up to make sure that the Patriots covered the under. And then also your emails for the Hot Shots email of the day. I saw Misty Plops. There was justice yesterday. Misty Plops got on the board. I feel like Misty Plops getting shut out so far this month was wrong.
Right. That's not right.
So the morning after it inside STL.com. So we'll talk about what Derek had to say regarding Stanton, regarding the Cardinals' interest in the Rays, regarding Cardinals' interest in the Marlins, the lack of interest in J.D. Martinez, which I always thought was the case, but these national shows keep talking about the Cardinals and J.D. Martinez. I'm kind of like, I'm pretty sure Derek Gould said the Cardinals aren't interested in J.D. Martinez. And that, you know, that matches up with what Derek just confirmed there. And also Eric Hosmer, which is another name that I feel gets attached to the Cardinals, but not necessarily by Derek Gould, who I would feel like would know.
I feel like that's just because Eric Hosmer played in Missouri. People are like, whoa, I'm in St. Louis, Kansas City, Midwest, yeah.
So we'll talk about that coming up. It's Ryan Kelly Morning.